Mike Shope.
Hey, put a little... I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey, put a little bit more in there, cowboy.
And the Bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Bulldog just rattled off James Reimer's career, and I'm exhausted listening to it.
He's been around.
How many miles, how many air miles does James Reimer have in his life? Just from traveling between teams.
Yep. Yep.
All four corners.
I didn't know. We were talking to Paul. This came up with Paul because we were talking about revenge games. They're playing Anaheim on Friday, and the Sabres just claimed Reimer back after losing him on waivers to Anaheim back at the beginning of the season. He only played two games there, got waived. The Sabres got him back. So they're like, oh, revenge game. Oh, not tomorrow, unless he plays tomorrow. But San Jose, too. He played two full seasons in San Jose pretty recently and also played eight games there in between long stints in Toronto, and I don't know what happened there.
He's practically in the Ring of Honor.
Right.
Joining us now on the Western Hotline is Joe Ostrowski, the host of BetQL Daily, weekdays from 9 to noon, with Sam Paniatovich, who will join us tomorrow. And BetMGM Game Days, Sunday mornings with Jason Lockenfora. You can hear these on the Odyssey app, the BetQL Network, and our own The Bet 1520. Hi, Joe.
I wanted to make sure that I wasn't imagining a DM from Mike Shope from a while back. So I went back and checked.
Uh-oh.
And here it is. I did find it.
What time of day?
Well,
what time of day?
It was early. It was a little early. Here's the thing. I didn't respond, so I'm thinking it was a post-Super Bowl vacation or something. I forgot to get back to you. It was like 7 a.m. How does Tariq Skubal for AL Cy grab you?
Yeah, you found that. Yes.
Yes.
Joe, I picked Sale, too.
Get out.
I mean, I didn't bet anything. I can't bet awards in lonely... the Empire State, but
yeah.
In my one kind of big fantasy league, I drafted both guys in the name of they're both going to win the Cy Young.
Man, the man just is keeping you down over here.
I know. Joe's our Cy Young guy, Robbie Ray.
I won't even tell you where is. I got to find this because a listener last night, as soon as this happened, they sent a screenshot to us. I'm like, I don't remember saying it, but because they said it, they were listening to the show and they bet it at the time. They did a two-leg parlay, Skubal 14-1, Sale 25-1 for over 500-1.
Yeah, pretty good.
Wow, big clap. All right.
Yeah.
was either vote close?
I didn't even look because the odds were so far.
Yep.
I assumed it was not close. The AL rookie, I know that was really close. But I don't think the Cy Young was.
I don't either, especially Skubal, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, too bad. I could have used a new jacuzzi.
Yeah, a little bump would have been nice.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah.
Joe, I got a DM from Joe today that says he wants to talk about ugly dogs. And I mentioned this to Bulldog, and I think maybe that starts with the Browns,
right?
Betting ugly dogs.
Mike mentions this to me, and I go, oh, I'm already on the Browns. Like it's the NFL, go Browns.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm with you. 3.5. I was thinking some of the higher numbers, which we can go over, but yeah, tonight. So what's been really interesting is the movement on the total that we've seen all week. So this thing opened 42. On Sunday, and then it was bet down immediately, and that's where we've been most of the week because there was a scare with the weather. And early in the week, you saw all sorts of stuff. Wind gusts up to 30 to 40 miles an hour, sustained 20 miles per hour. It's going to be snowing. It's going to be freezing. It's going to be
snow pellets, Joe. Snow pellets are in the
snow
forecast.
Snow pellets, a little bit everything. So the total goes down 6-7 points. But over the last 24 hours, when we have a weather forecast, we think we can trust a little bit more. Not too much because it's still meteorologists. But the total's been going up. So people are thinking, okay, it's not going to be as bad as originally reported. But it is still low. It's between 36.5 and 37. For what it's worth, on the show today, Sam ended up taking the over. I did not touch the total. We've been pretty strong at Steelers by 3.5 in this spot. And I do agree with you. It's coming off a Ravens win over that team. Short turnaround, quick turnaround. Tomlin historically does not have good numbers in those games, especially on the road. He's 0-5 straight up, 1-4 against the spread. And Stefanski, does have really good numbers. Even though he struggled in those divisional matchups, he does do very well on short wet rest here. But, yeah, I'm with you. I just, these AFC North matchups, if you're giving me a dog and it's higher than three, I'm going to look on that side every time, just like we did last week in a different role for Pittsburgh when they were the 3.5-point underdog to the Baltimore Ravens. And we know what happened there. They win without even scoring a touchdown.
Right. You were on that. You told us that last week. It reminds me of that Jets-Houston game, 6-2 versus 2-6, and the Jets were favored, and that's been pretty safe. When that happens, the Browns are not favored, but it's 3.5 at home, 8-2 versus 2-8.
Yep.
It shows you what kind of respect the Steelers get, which is not much. Well, I'm into the Nick Chubb narrative tonight, Joe. Primetime against the Steelers last year is when he suffered his really unfortunate knee injury. He's been back, but unheralded. And here you go. Weather game, maybe, and I just got to think the Browns are going to want to, if you will, pay him for his rehab and the work that went into. I mean, that guy's been on that team a long time. They really haven't gotten very far. If they can, I would think that they would want to, you know, give him some glory tonight.
Yeah, that's funny. I was just talking to somebody else who's like, he brought up that same angle, but he was looking at the other guy with Ford because his numbers are so low.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And both teams are probably going to have to use both backs in this matchup. The Chubb numbers, very low, 52.5 for rushing yards, 14.5 on attempts. I would think that both sides are going to have to lean on the run game. And I think the number is gone. There isn't value on it. But there have been a lot of people that have taken a look at these Tomlin games in bad weather, and what has he done? Something he's talked about openly. He's leaned on Najee Harris, and those numbers are what? We're like 17.5 rushing attempts.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's we've gone too far on that one. Mid-60s, though, yardage, that's a little bit better, but if you want to attack the rushing games of both sides, I would not have an issue with that.
And even Warren at 8.5, both Harris and Warren are money's leaning toward the over. Like people are betting that the Steelers are going to hand the ball off all night. So, okay. Well, Thursday Night Football.
I know we've talked about this before, and we may have already touched on enough of it, but I just want one little follow-up here on the weather, because it's not supposed to be, I don't think, that windy, as it turns out, but there will be precipitation, and it's going to be cold. That's why we've got a mix of rain and snow and snow pellets. Do you usually think that that's going to be bad for passing games, or, you know, because the old adage is the defenders won't know where the receivers are going, somebody falls down, and you can get a, you know, a pretty big day out of that?
Yeah, Bulldog, it's a good reminder because it looks like it's going to be our first weather game of the year, and maybe we'll get some more this weekend. I don't know about you guys, but a ton of snow here this morning. It doesn't look like it's going to be around this weekend for the game, but you know, maybe there are some other spots throughout the Midwest where it does play a factor. Rain, snow, that does not move numbers. Don't overreact to that when they go, you know, in their pregame show today. Like, everybody will be, a lot of the bettors will be taking a look in the Amazon pregame show. Like, okay, what does it look like on the field? Is it very windy? That is most important. And the marker is 20 miles per hour. When you see sustained winds at 20 miles per hour, then you'll see a big drop in the total because that's when it really matters. Now, gusts at 20, that's different.
Yep.
Sustained 10 to 15, that's not that big of a deal. But if it's throughout 20, that's going to impact things. I did see the quarterback numbers seem really low. Now, Russell Wilson hasn't done great in the last couple of games, but I believe his passing number, 182. Yeah, so it's pretty low.
Well, tune into the pregame show to see how much Fitzpatrick's beard is blowing around then. That's what we got to do to monitor the wind.
Speaking of the Steelers, Mike Tomlin is now the coach of the year favorite. You know, when we have these conversations with you and with Sam, it comes down to value much of the time. So how do you see it? You wouldn't want to bet Tomlin at this point. You would have wanted to bet him 2 months ago.
Correct. If I have a vote, my vote is going to Tomlin right now. And that's why he's the favorite sitting at 3-1. And Dan Campbell is the second favorite sitting at 4-1. But the way I view it is there's this group of coaches, we can call it 6-8, somewhere in that range. I think any of them can win it. Any of them. And who knows, maybe if there's a team that comes out of nowhere like Seattle, like in the middle, and they end up winning the NFC West, maybe you can get a super long shot on Mike McDonald or something like that. But I'm looking at those 6 to 8 coaches, and I'm just hunting for value because I think we can make a strong case on any of them. And the one that is just screaming at me is Sean Payton at 22-1.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's just because of the number. And if it was a couple of these other names that were further down that were in that range, I'd probably make the same case for them. But you know, handpicked quarterback, he's developing. All of a sudden, that's a two-player race. We thought it was over, but it's not over for Offensive Rookie of the Year between Nix and Jaden Daniels. And look at the way they're competing in that division, which everybody thought was over. I'm not trying to overreact to one loss.
Right.
But they're still hanging in there, and I don't think you have to win the division to win this award. We've certainly seen that in the past. Daboll won it without winning the division. They were in third place in the division that year. So I think Peyton's a good look at 22-1. And if Dan Quinn can get things back on track here, plus 850, that's a pretty good number. As far as likelihood, yeah, Tomlin has a better chance of winning. Jim Harbaugh, especially if they win on Monday night against the Ravens. That would make a lot of sense, but this thing seems pretty wide open to a good number of coaches.
It'd be really wild if that division turned into any kind of a race, because I think you go back to the Russell Wilson trade and Devontae Adams trade with us and Herbert in you know with the Chargers, and there was a lot of talk about from me anyway, and I think when you were on with us, like that division is just going to eat each other, and that's good for the Bills because Mahomes is going to be challenged now. It never really materialized, but now maybe it finally is with Harbaugh in with the Chargers, and the Broncos maybe have turned a corner here. I mean, the Raiders are still wasted, but still, yes. At least I'll take two out of those three, at least giving Kansas City some kind of a hassle.
Yeah, it's truly amazing what Jim Harbaugh has done in 1 year. He doesn't even have his guys in, right? Like, he's got the quarterback, and it made some changes, clear the direction that they were going by the changes that they did make. But 1 year, you can only turn over so much. What's that going to look like in a couple of years when he has full control of that roster? So not a division that I would want to be in a few years down the road.
It's never Sean McDermott. He's nope. Never even in the conversation. The Ravens year with Jackson winning in his first full season playing, John Harbaugh, won the coach of the year. So it's not unprecedented that a team could have both. Josh Allen is the MVP favorite. But, I mean, this has been a great job by McDermott. Like, they've turned some of this roster over, and they're sitting at 9-2. If they get the one seed, we know how much that's worth in these. I don't think he wins coach of the year if he's not even getting a mention at 9-2. But, I don't know, maybe he deserves one.
He has the same odds as Andy Reid, 25-1.
Well, there's that conversation, too.
It's the same conversation, right? Yeah. I don't like the way they handle it, but we're trying to win a bet, and
the
voters just they're not going to go that way. Even though I do agree that those two guys should get a lot more love than they do.
How about MVP at this point? The context with value and everything like that. Is there any value left?
It depends who you're betting. It is.
It's realistic.
Do Herbert? You think, well, how many players do you think are in the race? That's the question.
One.
I was going to say four tops.
Four tops.
But not the four tops. I don't think they're eligible. But
well, is Jalen Hurts?
That's why I would include him, Allen, Mahomes, and Jackson.
That's it.
Ooh, not Goff.
Goff?
Ooh, see, I overlook Goff just because, you know, he doesn't run.
He's Goff. What about Kyler? No,
I don't know.
Justin Herbert.
But
no.
Goff is certainly a credible choice here. Where Burrow? Is he in the odds right now, Joe?
So Goff is third.
Okay.
Goff is ahead of Mahomes now. Mahomes fell to 14-1. He's been falling the last few weeks, every week. Jalen Hurts, they keep winning, but his odds are actually slipping a little bit. So I don't like having this conversation most times because I say it's not going to happen. Maybe it's different. Is Saquon more valuable than Jalen Hurts?
Is Henry more valuable than Jackson? We say no, right?
No,
I mean,
I say no.
Well, Allen's in the lead. I know that after Sunday.
Yes, he is. Plus 150, plus 200 for Lamar. So that certainly flipped. Mm-hmm. And then there's a drop off. Like, Goff is third, but he's 8-1. he's not in that conversation right now with the with that top tier between Allen and Lamar Jackson.
So, Joe, how about the rest of Week 12? I mean, we've got the Bills off this week, six teams on bye this week, which is annoying in fantasy, as is the case in 2 weeks, which is even more annoying as we're into the playoffs here pretty much. Anyway, that's not the question. Do you have a couple of favorite picks this week?
Well, I want to talk about ugly dogs because that's where I find myself going this week, and it is gross, gross, gross. Now, last week, it was another one of those weeks where it was mostly favorites. The Texans winning on Monday night cashed a lot of those money line parlays because we only had one big underdog win outright, and that was the Seahawks over the 49ers. I don't know what to do with the 49ers moving forward. How much do you want to sell them? That's a big question. We've seen Super Bowl loser, man. Not all the years, not all the time, but it does seem to happen from time to time where the Super Bowl loser, everything goes wrong for them, and that's what's happening there. As far as ugly underdogs, we talk about Kansas City all the time. You want to take them, it didn't work last week, but you want to take them as an underdog or as a short favorite, and you want to go against them as a big favorite. They are laying 11 points. I know it's Carolina, but it's 11 points with a team that can't put up a lot of points right now. So that has my attention. You know, Jaden Daniels over the last 2 weeks has not looked great. Completion percentage over expectation, he's been bottom two. They're saying he's still dealing with the rib, even though he's been playing with that injury over the last month. They're 10.5-point favorites against a division rival. Cowboys have looked awful. I would say that they actually looked a little bit better. Cooper Rush was able to actually move the football this time around, but the Cowboys at plus 10.5, I'm looking at. And again, underwhelmed by the Texans. Yes, they won. Yes, they covered. But should they be favored in a division matchup by more than a touchdown? I would argue no. If you look at the Stroud numbers since week number six, there are a number of quarterback metrics where he's bottom five in the league. So that's why I brought up ugly dogs. It's hard to pull the trigger on these bad teams, but they're not all going to win and cover these big numbers.
I can't get into the mood for teasers. I just never. You always are talking about it, and I respect it, and Sam too. Mm-hmm. Last week he told it. I saw it on your show. They're teasing the Chiefs, and I don't know. It's like one play. It just. We have this in common. I need a good price. I got to get two games right, and I'm gonna basically even money bet right in a 6-point teaser around. So I don't know. It's just never really felt right to me. But
I hear you. Yeah, I don't mind that opinion at all. Chiefs, that sucked. Like, you're looking for 2 yards, and then look at what Josh Allen does. That play made him the favorite. If that play doesn't happen, if they win, is he the favorite? I don't know. Maybe he's even with Lamar, but that was your highlight reel play. Maybe that's the one that he needs to get this award. Certainly, if they get the one seed, I think he's going to get that award. But, yeah, no, I mean, that was so close. And then, of course, the other ones that I was looking at, they all hit. It was just that Chiefs one that did not hit in that one.
Right. All right, Joe. Nice to talk to you as always. Good luck in Week 12.
All right. Enjoy watching all the games as fans this week.
With no Bills game, right?
Yes, exactly.
What's your preferred Sunday? Are you out with friends? Are you home with 17 TVs or what?
No. No, I'm at home. I can't do, because we've got to talk about it like you do on Monday morning on the show, and I can't. I've got a couple hours after the show ends on BetMGM game day, and then when the games start. But look, I paid for Sunday ticket. It has changed my life. I'm not wasting one of those Sundays listening to the commentary of people whose opinions I don't respect.
There it is. In one sentence, there it is. All right, thanks again, Joe.
Thanks, guys.
Joe Ostrowski, BetQL Daily with Sam Paniatovic, who we speak with on Fridays. Also, the BetMGM Sunday morning pregame work with Jason Lockenfora. You can hear both shows on the Bet 1520. I'm ready to watch some snow fly.
I'll be looking
not out my window.
I'll be looking forward on Sunday to driving my family insane as we drive back from Boston while NFL games are going on, and I'm trying to either listen to them through cell service or watch them on Fubo through cell service. We've made this drive before on football Sundays. There's a lot of spotty, there's a lot of dropout, and I just never want to get, reboot it. Just close it out and open it again. Maybe it'll be better.
Oh, I know.
And even Owen, who cares? Like, my wife and Leo could not care less. Owen would care. Everyone would just be like, Dad, please. Will you put on a podcast or something? Like,
you're in the Berkshires. You're not getting NFL radio.
Exactly. Right.
You know, there are some people, I think it's admirable. You know what they do when the Bills are off? They don't watch the other games. They take a break.
Mm.
They go for a hike.
I'm kind of doing that, but I mean, I normally would not. It's just that we're traveling back from going to a concert in Boston on Saturday night, so I have no choice.
Please don't have my question to Joe imply that you are obligated to watch the NFL all day, even when there's no Bills game.
I love those days when there's no Bills game. I mean, I love the Bills games, but like to just be able to sit and have a few beers and order some takeout and just know that we don't have to do anything on the air, that I love those days. So Sunday, I mean, I'm thrilled we're going where we're going, but I'll miss just sitting around Sunday watching. Luckily, we don't work post game for the night games, so we get to do that again next week anyways for us. So.
Yep. Just no anchovies.
Right.
Just make sure no anchovies.
No anchovies.
What's your perfect bye week Sunday? 803-0550. Chris Trapasso still to come today. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
I wanted to play. I want to play. I want to be on the field. You know, I tried to do as much as I could to make that possible and create a situation where we were both comfortable. But, you know, I think, you know, most of those discussions went on, you know, with my agent and with Joe. And, yeah, you know, I want to play. I want to be on the field. But it's unfortunate, business side of the game.
Daniel Jones, Dimes, Nichols, Joe is Joe Shane, GM of the Giants, formerly in the Bills front office. Looks like one of these where they're just going to keep him over there. There's a $10 million, I think, injury, maybe more?
I think it's more, it's closer to 20, I think. Yeah, 23, 27.
Okay, 23
it's
might sound right.
It's big, yeah. So, yeah, like we've seen this become, Russell Wilson went through this, Derek Carr went through this. Forgive me, I don't have every one of these committed to memory, but those are two that I know stand out that definitely went through this. Where like, and even in Denver's case, like their year was going better than this Giants year is going. I mean, they weren't really, nobody took them seriously as a playoff team, but they were, hovering around 500, I feel like, when Denver did this with Wilson last year. Teams just don't want to be on the hook for that. I mean, they're done with him and that's it. And it's become the way that goes now. So, yeah, he was acting, Jones was today in practice, I read, as a scout team safety.
Oh, a page from the Deshaun Watson book.
Right, during the suspension / hold-in or whatever that was. I don't even remember which of those that was with him before. It got so ugly there in Houston. But
the year he was there before he was officially suspended.
Yeah, right. I even feel like having Jones do that is like step wrong. I mean, guys tear their knees in practice. It happens.
Yeah, is scout team safety the unofficial safest position in football?
Here's the least you could possibly be asked to do in one of these walkthroughs or whatever it is they're doing.
Why even do that? Is there some obligation the team has that the guy, if he's not injured?
Exactly. That's why I bring it up. Like, I'd be worried about something happening there. Like, if the reason you're not playing him is to avoid injury, and he's fourth on the depth chart now, you signed Tim Boyle, whatever you're doing here, and starting Tommy DeVito. I mean, holy cow, Tankathon 2024 here going out with the Giants. Why even have him do that?
Like, maybe they have to have him do something.
Maybe.
Here's Rick with us. Hello, Rick.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Thanks for listening and calling.
Yeah, I listen to you guys all the time. I usually don't call in because you guys kind of explain it away, and I'm really in agreement quite a bit, so no need to call in and say I agree. But, Mike, you asked what's your ideal bye week, and mine, I'm amused by it at least. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the show The League, but it's about fantasy football, basically, and My wife's family, they're not originally from America, so they're not really into American football. They would, you know, my wife told me when they were growing up, they would take a Super Bowl Sunday, and that's when they would go to a restaurant that would be normally really busy. So, with her and with that show, there's an episode where they go over, and the one gentleman, he would, on a bye week, he would take his wife out to do whatever, to enjoy herself, to go shop, whatever she'd want to do. So I do the same thing now with my wife because she can't understand my obsession with football. She doesn't get it. So I take the Bills bye week, which is this week, and we have a Sunday afternoon plan to do all the things she wants to and loves to do. And it works real good for us. But thanks, guys.
It's sure. Well, enjoy that. Thank you. And good on you for doing that. I've done plenty of that on bye weeks or other Sundays where we have off. My wife gets it. Like, we celebrate the Super Bowl and all that stuff, but like, I feel I owe it to her. There's so much, you know, garbage that I take in that she couldn't care less about. So I think it's a nice thing to be able to do that during a football season.
I'm told we will be editing that phone call out of the on-demand portion of our show so that not every man obsessed with this sport listening won't feel terrible.
Doesn't feel pressured into going for a hike on Sunday.
I mean, Rick is like so right here, and I've just got my head in my hands sitting, listening like, oh no, I should totally do that.
Right.
I'm big enough to have volunteered for one of the kids' sports. One's got practice, one's got a game in the middle of the afternoon. And you know what, Mike? They're not playing. You're not working. Right. Don't pretend that you're working or that they're playing.
No, I have to watch this because I'll need to talk about it all on Monday. And there's no way I can find out what happened unless I see it with my own eyes, live.
I'll have to settle for watching all of the 1 o'clock games and the night game. And tonight and Monday. I'll have to settle for that.
Right.
I'll have to skip the 3-4 o'clock games or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'll have to get along without San Francisco Green Bay. How will I do it?
Yeah.
I've told you this, I think. Adam Krautwurst, you're a big fan. So he and I are in all this high-stakes fantasy football, and like, this is a huge week because in a lot of those, it's a 12-week season. Then you have a 2-week league playoff. And the final 3 weeks of the fantasy season are when, like, all the qualifiers compete for the big money. So the season's over if we don't win. We have two, actually, where it could go really close either way this week. I don't know what he's doing Sunday. Actually, he did tell me, we did talk for a minute about getting together, which I think I'm not going to be able to do now with this other thing.
Yeah.
This family thing. But
so cumbersome.
He has told me that he doesn't look at scores. Which is not the same as not watching games. I know he's busy with his kids doing coaching sports and other things too. It's not the same as not watching games, but I just have no interest in that. I mean, just, I think if I had to do it, I would do it, of course. But I strongly dislike the thought
of not paying attention to what's going on and all the other,
right? All my stats. And I am so that way that I will have a game on, typical situation, I'll have a red zone or I'll have a game on in my home, and I will have my phone out, which will have the ESPN fantasy app with, you know, each game, where's the ball, yard line, down and distance, time left, so that'll six or so games fit on one phone screen, and, you know, if you see, like, touchdown, I'll click on it. And I want to know what the touchdown is before. I'm about to see it in like 10 seconds. I can't wait the 10 seconds.
Wow.
Then on my computer, I'll have like all the different fantasy sites with like, you know, one or two of my biggest games. And also Yahoo, because on Yahoo, it's much like the ESPN thing where you see like each game where the ball is on the field, down in distance. They might even be synchronized, the ESPN one and the Yahoo one, the way that works. And same thing, like I will just be manically, I mean, just if that's a word, clicking on game to game. I'm my own red zone, you know.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I've told you, I don't really like red zone because I think I'm better at it.
I just can't. That sounds so stressful to me.
I know.
Yeah. You're saying it's just so stressful to me. Like, I just, you know what? If I weren't doing what I'm doing this weekend, Sunday, you know, get up, make a big, you know, like breakfast slash brunch for everybody, you know, and 1 o'clock game start, and I'm probably asleep by 2:15. Nap, I'll get up and make the meal, and then, all right, 4 o'clock games, I'm good to go, I'm ready to go. As it turns out, I mean, I'm not taking my wife to do something. Well, I am taking her and my family to do something we all love to do. So it's not like I'm sacrificing. You know, this tour for Sturgill Simpson was announced months and months and months ago. And I had to decide. He was playing in Toronto last night and tonight. And quite a few years ago, I just decided, like, weeknight concerts in Toronto, like, you know, sure, it's a day off, but it's just not, it's not something I want to do. Yeah, it's just getting there, getting back, whatever. So realized it was the Bills' bye weekend. He's playing in Boston, last show of the tour. See if we can get tickets, and we're lucky enough to get them. So we're going to go do that. So we got a nice family weekend together, which we have not had in a long, long time. So I'm looking forward to that.
We'll take a break. Come back. Chris Trapasso will join us at 5:00. So still about 20 minutes away. Reflecting on this year's draft and also a look ahead to next year's. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR. Caller 5 at 716-221-4WGR, 4947, wins a pair of tickets to see Goo Goo Dolls at KeyBank Center Saturday, August 9th, courtesy of New Day Live. Tickets go on sale tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, at Ticketmaster.com.
Get on it.
Steelers and Browns tonight. Sabres over the Kings 1-0 last night. Lukanen's sixth career shutout. You know, they're in the middle. We talked about this earlier. They did win without Thompson, without Greenway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Quinn is kind of nowhere.
That was a really good job last night.
It's a pretty good job.
It's not a game, like, if you it wasn't a lot happening, but I like that they won the game. They've won a couple games here. Their last two wins, really, to me. The game last, was it Thursday they played the Blues, I think?
Yeah, I think.
Was, you know, there were more goals, but it just wasn't a real high event kind of game. And they found their way to get, you know, gut it out and get to overtime and get the Dahlin goal to win it. So there were more highlights in the game, but it felt very much to me like the kind of game that in other years they would have lost. And I could say the same thing about last night. It's not across the board. They've won their share of ugly games over the, I mean, they've won all kinds of games over the course. There's not a lot of them, not enough of them over the course of this 13-year playoff drought. But I don't know. I still feel like their season is in front of them. They did not dig a hole here. And they have, since they started 0-3, I think they're 9-6-1, which is, you know, decent enough to think, like, you could, I think that maybe is a 96-point pace for the year, if you could, you know, maintain that kind of play. So, you know.
But do they play like that quality of a team? Is that what you see? 96 points? It's not what I see. You didn't say, I'm not putting words in your mouth here, but.
I think that's out there for them. I think when you win games like they've won these last two, that again, you can throw the Calgary game, the shootout win, into the same boat. Very low event game, boring game. Are you gonna make the mistake that's gonna kill you? And they did. They coughed up a 2-0 lead in that game, but still managed to get 2 points out of it. It doesn't feel to me like there's a lot of that in the last few years here. So I'm encouraged by that.
It's a Lindy effect, isn't it?
Maybe, yeah. Like responsibility, like not forcing it.
It's right? What he talked about when he took the job is how, like 2 years ago, he was coaching the Devils against the Sabres, and, well, both teams that year were really high-flying.
Yeah.
But he said that runs its course. You have to be able to – you have to have the foundation.
Right.
Because teams are going to figure out how to disrupt, how to stop your offense. That's what always happens in hockey.
Right.
Eventually.
I don't see a real threat of a team, but there's teams – to me, they're good enough to be a playoff team. There's teams every year that make it that are just like sort of, what? But, you know, they get games to overtime. They get their, the Islanders are an example of this. Like, they're never a threat to win the cup. I'm not telling you. I think the Sabres could win the cup. But I feel like where they are here as Thanksgiving approaches and the way they have played, to me, they could be a playoff team. Like, I see a team that could be a playoff team. I don't see a team that's a threat, but those aren't the same thing.
And that so that can vary year to year. Like you said earlier, we talked about this. Some years, you don't get teams that don't look the part getting in because there are the quality of the teams is spread out more than it is at other times. I would say this season so far, like, it'll do. But I think they, I said the whole, gave a speech earlier, they need more.
Yeah.
There should be a way for a smart organization that's committed to find their way to one more guy with still as many young pieces as they have that they still really don't have room for. You end up in situations where you do because of injuries and other things. I think it's called for, and I think they might make it, but it doesn't feel that likely to me. And so why wait? This was kind of the time 2 years ago where I was at, why wait? Because they didn't have the blue line. That team was scoring like crazy, and the goaltending was fine. They didn't have, ultimately, not right away, but they didn't have the blue line. You could say the same thing about goalie early in that season two years ago, and they just sat there, expecting it to get better or even not. I don't know. They sat there.
I we're going to have to get to a break. I don't want to get in a big fight about your phrasing here, but they couldn't wait to get Devon Levi in when he got here at the end of that season. They were nowhere fine in goal to me 2 years ago. Last year, absolutely. Like, Lukanen took off and became fantastic for them. But they went into last season based on seven games of Devon Levi at the end of the season before, thinking he was their savior. So there was nothing good about their goaltending 2 years ago to me. Defensively may have been a bigger problem, and that could have helped their goaltending, but that Lukanen was not this guy 2 years ago.
No, he wasn't. They had Anderson for much of that season, too, who had a pretty good year. But, okay. Yeah, then we started talking about Connor Hellebuck and
what the plan should John be. John Gibson. Gibson. It was really called for to me to make a move that year in goal. And they didn't. For whatever reason, they couldn't find their way to it. They didn't want to upset Levi before he signed here. Like, I don't know. Whatever was going on there, they didn't make a move. And I think it cost them. You don't know. The move could have blown up in their faces. They could have traded for Jonas Kopitarsalo, and he could have had an .885 save percentage or something if they had done that. But they did not even swing.
That was kind of my take. Is that wanting it both ways? Because when it came to goalies, I didn't really love any idea.
Yeah.
I didn't trust any idea to really make a difference for them. But defensively, I would have. So I don't know if I can get away with that. I mean, it's a different position, but I use this whole point against them because it reflects a lack of commitment.
Well, I think the reason I'm hard on them about that, I just said it in passing there. I suspect that they were worried that Levi would say, I'll stay at Northeastern if they made a trade for John Gibson. And as it turns out, he lost his spot anyway. But I think they wanted to get him signed, and I think that could have been in the pressure cooker for them. Like, Levi might have had leverage, even though he was a college kid. That's the Sabres. Like, why can't they make a trade? I don't know. Does anybody want to come here? Like, players? Like, what's their reputation right now around the league? It can't be good. So, I think, you know, to an extent, they've made the mess. But I think Adams has a very tough job. Because, if you know, there's no move clauses all over the place. You think a guy that's a 30-goal scorer making $6 million a year is going, oh, yeah, let me go to Buffalo. That should go well.
Maybe they have an ant here or something that would help. There has to be some condition. Chris Trapasso, back to football after sports here on WGR.